Yeah, am I doing an intro or are you doing the intro?
Season 2, episode 3, take 1!
Hey everybody, my name is Cole and this is Stella and we are the Youth Mini Mic Podcast. Hey there, Mini Micers. Glad you're here with us today.
Yeah, what's up?
Not much.
Whenever you say Mini Micers, I always think of a sandwich. Because isn't there a sandwich? Okay, no. Mini? Okay.
Have you ever hear the word miker? I think of peanut butter and jelly. Now, when people say sandwich, though, what do you think of?
Actually? No, okay.
Sorry, finish your thing.
Yeah, please let me talk. Mini or Jersey Mike subs, they have like mini Mike subs, don't they? Okay,
Jersey Mike's,
you.
Yeah,
they have, yeah, that's so I always think of that because it's okay. You okay there?
I can't stand when something gets said that shouldn't have been said, and then I can't stop thinking about that thing.
Why?
Because I am obsessive. I think I have OCD.
I mean,
I think everyone has ADHD and OCD, if we're being honest. Like, do we not all have it to varying degrees? Some of us just have it to a diagnosable
medically
degree, right? Like, to where it's, like, actually keeps you from doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so why – wait, did you ever say why the mini micers part makes you think of a sandwich?
Yeah, I did when you were over there to attend to your
child. Wait, what
did
you say? I didn't listen.
I said because Jersey Mike's has mini subs, and they're called, like, mini mic subs.
Yeah, they're not called mini micers.
Okay, so. No, but mini mic.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Mini mic podcast.
But when you think of a sandwich, what do you think of?
Like
if I say sandwich in your head,
like probably like a Jimmy John or like a Jersey Mike subs, like with the
like a
folded
sub.
Over bread,
a
like a sub, and then it has the meat and the tomatoes and lettuce, and mayo and cheese, whatever else you put on it. Do you put chips on your sandwich?
No, not since I was a child. When you, it's in the Bible, it's like when you grow to be an adult, you put away the things of your youth.
And chips on your sandwich
chips
is
on
that list.
God.
That's on that list. Okay, yeah. It's interesting.
Yep, yeah. So anyways, anything we need to catch up on?
I don't think so.
I'll tell you something that's fun. If you go to our church here at River of Life, we want to see you as a youth student serving at VBS. And if you serve at VBS, you have an opportunity to see either Katie Moist, the kids director, or myself.
Oh, is it?
Become a human hot dog.
What?
Human hot dog, man. So what's going to happen is the person who, the group that raises the most money, guys win, Katie becomes hot dog. Cole wins, or girls win, Cole becomes hot dog. So it's like guys versus girls in fundraising.
Girls always win because girls are.
Yeah, or they're just better at asking their dad for money. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Mm-hmm. Just on top
but what we're going to do then is the loser, the losing team, the losing representative, right, will have to become a human hot dog. So we're going to lay out on a tarp and then they get like there's not really a bun. We just become like the hot dog and then we'll have students put condiments on us.
Ew.
As like the punishment. So,
ew,
like,
that is so gross.
Epic. So like ketchup, mustard, relish.
Ew.
I don't know what else you would do. So probably those things. Yeah.
No, that's so gross. Why would you agree to that?
Oh, I didn't agree. Oh,
okay.
It just happened.
Okay.
These are the perks of working for a church.
Yeah.
In next
in
gen.
Kids ministry.
Kids and youth ministry.
Yeah,
what you
that's
do.
A good point. Yeah. No, you. Yeah, I don't know. Our producers has left us.
Anyways, let's dive into content of the day. So this last week, or episode 2, you're supposed to be reading through the book of James.
Just 5 chapters, so hopefully. And they're pretty short, too, so hopefully.
5 chapters, 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was like 7 days. But you have a shot at doing that. And, you know, if you're behind or whatever, just read it back. Or read the verses that we talk about. Or
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're
follow along with us.
We're just trying to help
to.
You. But I think the one thing that can be really easy if you're listening to podcasts, sermons, like all that sort of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to choose to just listen
mm-hmm.
and never actually read it yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's probably, I would emphasize like the importance of trying to read it yourself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we, yeah. No, I know
right?
you mean.
Like, unless
I think
you're listening
unless
to it read to
it's
you.
Different than like if we were to like, because you can still get something out of it if we're reading it to you, obviously.
Yeah,
but
get something out of it, but like you're still not mm-hmm. doing anything for yourself. You're still like trying to get it just from like other people's help.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, it's just a useful tool to have in your.
It's important to make time for yourself with reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't know Jesus if you don't try
mm-hmm.
to spend time with him. So anyways, let's talk about we're supposed to do the Book of James, and we are going to talk about some overarching thoughts right off the bat. So James is like, if you're looking for, like, you know how they say, like, the Bible's like a rule book on how to live?
I've never heard that, but yeah.
Oh, you never heard that?
No.
Or like a roadmap to life?
I think I've heard that.
Okay, that would be just the Book of James. You just read the Book of James and you got the whole roadmap.
Yeah.
Like, it's everything. Like, if you read, like, just the sub headings or whatever within the chapters, you've got, like, trials and temptations, listening and doing, favoritism, faith and deeds, taming the tongue, different kinds of wisdom, submitting to God, boasting, or what's another word for boasting?
Proud.
Being proud. Warning to being
a puffed
to
up
rich
chest.
Oppressors, patient and suffering, and then prayer and all that stuff. So anyways, it's really good. It's just like a super solid book when it comes to all things being a Christian. My overarching thought is, like, this is one of my favorite books of the Bible, in the sense that, like, it is, like, so much wisdom in what it looks like to live out our faith.
Yeah, I would agree.
Do you have any other overarching thoughts?
No, not really. I kind of read it chaotically, I'm not gonna lie.
Chaotically?
Yeah.
Season 2, episode 3, take 2. Yeah. Just jump back in. You know what? We're just making it happen, because that's what we do. So, overarching, Stella read it sporadically, and I would say it is the best book to read if you're looking for, like, hard life advice. That, honestly, it cuts, though, every time you listen. It's not just, like, a wise person does this. It's like, you're a fool for doing that.
And it just, like, it, like, cuts straight to the point. There's no sugarcoating. There's no, like, oh, wait, what does this mean? It's just, like, this is what this means. Don't do that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's it.
And that's some of my takeaways today. So you can go ahead and lead. Like, what do you feel like God spoke to you about the Book of James in general?
You know, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I read it, and then I'm like, oh, this is so good. And then I forget what I read.
Oh.
So I'm not going to lie. In here. What?
That's in here.
That's in here is forgetting?
Sort of, yeah. That was one of my main points.
Oh, was it actually? Oh, well, what was your main point about that?
Well, that would be something along the lines of chapter 1, verse 23, where it says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
You just said you did that!
What is the chances? That's my main thing. So when
that's
I was in junior high, like 6th or 7th grade, my youth pastor did a sermon literally about that, where he said to the dudes, which is, like, myself included, I think my hair still looks whack. Does it? Does it still have a fluff right here?
I guess.
When I woke up this morning, I had a little fluff right there, and I never fixed it. But here's what happened. I looked at myself in the mirror, noticed the fluff, and forgot what I looked like. That's what dudes do. We look at ourselves in the mirror. And we're like,
that's what it is.
Okay. And you forget what you look like. But it's the same way, right? Like with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We look at ourselves in the mirror of scripture, in the mirror of, like, what God wants to do in our lives. And then as soon as we get away from the word or get away from Christian community, we completely forget. And we just live our lives however we would have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So just like Cole driving away from his house, looks in my rearview mirror, sees my hair is still fluffed. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fix that when I get to church today.
Didn't fix it.
Here I am.
Mm-hmm.
At
I don't
1:30
really
in the afternoon.
I don't really notice it.
Now you will.
A little bit, yeah.
Now everyone listening will.
Yeah, a little bit. You should just zoom in on it.
Your turn.
Okay. That's all you had to say about James 1:23?
That's the thing, dude. Like, you can't just listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be a doer. Gotta allow
That's
it
like
to
what
change
we,
you and transform you.
Kind of talked what we talked about
it's
last week, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about James 2, what was it? 2:26 was, that's what we talked about last episode, was, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So kind of the same thing, because this talks about doers and, you know, and how, like, walking through that faith and stepping through that faith. And who was I talking to that said?
I would be the first person that's ever rocked a baby to sleep on podcast, I think.
There's a lot of podcasts out there. Who knows? Yeah, actually, maybe.
I'm almost embarrassed, like, filming this right now.
Why?
Like, we're actually going to post this as a podcast, and here I am rocking this baby.
That's okay. Transparency. Transparency.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to do life at the same time as doing other parts of life.
Agreed. No, I was talking to someone, and they said, they were talking about a sermon that they heard, and it was talking about how the faith comes after the act. Like, they were
saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. Like almost like you have
like to, you have more faith after going through with the act and seeing how God came through
exactly
for you.
Yeah.
After doing the act.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That would be like like choosing to tithe or something like that, where you're like, yeah. Oh, money's tight, mm-hmm. but I'm choosing to tithe because God mm-hmm. promises to fulfill my needs mm-hmm. yeah. physically and emotionally and spiritually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like here I go to tithe my time, my talents, my treasures.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that it starts with time because it really mm-hmm. we really should be tithing on the most important and difficult act, which is treasures first. Mm-hmm. And then let's tithe with talent and time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because treasure is the hardest one. Like, why are we saving the hardest for last? Let's do the hardest first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tithe your treasures, then mm-hmm. your talent and your time, and watch how God shows up for you. That's mm-hmm. really difficult. But to have faith in it, faith in the action, absolutely, but like even more faith when you've allowed God to like work through your action.
I think you could even bring it down to a lower level where it's like even like praying for someone, like someone that you're like, if you're at the gym or you're just at work, if you're at work or just like walking around and you feel like, oh, I feel like I should like go ask that person like, hey, like, is there anything I can pray for you or pray over someone, all that crazy fun scary stuff. I feel it's like one of those things where it's like you kind of have to go through the act, and then when you afterwards you get more fulfillment over it.
No, that's
and
good.
More like stronger faith that like, oh, I can do the scary things.
Did you say at the gym?
Yeah.
You don't go to the gym. You hate the gym.
Oh my gosh, I know, but I'm speaking for the vast majority of people that probably do go to the gym.
I don't go to the gym. What is a gym?
Gym?
Who's gym?
Okay, so now we're going to jump to the second point that we have, which is James 3:5-6. And I think, there you go.
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Sure.
Okay. So I have your Bible's different. Yours is the NIV. I have the Christian Standard Bible. So James 3:5-6 is, so too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. Nice. Yeah. That's what mine says. What?
That's intense.
That's very intense.
I wasn't ready for the last verse.
That was your point.
When you said hell, I was like, oh, maybe that's, I mean, yeah.
Very intense.
Yeah, no, I called this one out because I was like, obviously, like, the tongue is super powerful. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess that's always good to like recognize and know.
Mm-hmm.
I love the part where it says, being a small part of the body, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes the great boasts
mm-hmm.
or has the greatest influence, mm-hmm. right? So like, even though it's like one of the smallest parts of our body, in the sense that like, I mean, our eyes are mm-hmm. small too, but there's two of them, I don't know, but like, it has the most control, like over your destiny, like literally can change and impact like every part of who you are, every part of your being.
Yeah, because the verse before that talks about, it says, verse 4 says, and consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah.
It gives the context of like the small part, but it drives the force of everything else.
Exactly. I mean, how often could you say that like our lives are determined by something we chose or chose not to say?
Mm-hmm.
Like almost mm-hmm. every day, right? Like our circumstances, our situations. For example, like
mm-hmm.
like would we have ever started a podcast if your tongue didn't speak into like,
yeah,
let's do a podcast, like, yeah, that sounds so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we are now, like, giving hours of our time and effort and energy into something,
yeah,
because of our tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're talking on a, yeah, podcast. I guess that's also an example, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it gives like, yeah, I'm thinking about this as I'm processing this as we're talking about it, how we're given a lot of power with our words and what we say, and we don't realize it most of the time.
Not only until it's too late, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we always notice when we do something wrong or say something stupid,
mm-hmm.
but we rarely notice when we beforehand. Like, we rarely notice when it matters,
mm-hmm.
and it matters before you say it, not after.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sets the tone. What you say sets the tone for a lot of situations too.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I love that. So verse 6, the tongue, also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body, meaning mm-hmm. like it can do so much damage to mm-hmm. other people specifically.
Yeah.
Can the tongue hurt ourselves? I mean, obviously, yeah. like mm-hmm. like vicariously through other people. When we say crap to them, they're going to come back at mm-hmm. us or whatever. But like specifically hurt us? I don't know. That's kind of like
That's kind of an interesting like thinking.
Yeah, it's more of it in your mind than it is like your actual
saying it.
Your actual words, like speaking out loud. But it sets the whole course of one's life on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So like your tongue can ruin relationships, can ruin mm-hmm. jobs, chances, like could ruin many, many a thing that would set your entire life into a certain thing. So it's just a really great chapter. I love chapter 3
mm-hmm.
In that challenge. It's also extremely difficult to hear in some sense because mm-hmm. it's like, okay, who especially dudes, because dudes tend to say things without thinking. Who as a dude, like,
mm-hmm.
maybe girls do too sometimes, but it's more common for dudes to say stupid things. It's like, who doesn't struggle with that? It's yeah. everyone struggles with that, but mm-hmm. let's all acknowledge it, right? And then make an yeah. effort to, like, verse 9, where it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we mm-hmm. curse human beings. Like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, sorry, I'm
be more challenged than that. That's wild.
Yeah, like, what did I say here? Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes. Because part of it down here says, I made a note about, like, our mouth can both speak blessings and curses. And one of them bears fruit and one of them doesn't bear fruit. And I think it's like, because in a different book of the Bible, I think it talks about having a double mind too. And I feel like with our yeah. tongue too, we have like a verbal double mind where we can speak blessings double over tongue. People. Yep, and speak curses over people too.
No, that's real.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
I think, yeah, no, it's very important to watch what we say and like, and how influential we are, not as just people, but also as Christians too. Mm-hmm. Because to someone who isn't a Christian, maybe never grew up hearing anything about God or Jesus' sacrifice for us, anything about that, and they know that you're a Christian, and if you say something that hurts them or upsets them and they're like, well, this person's a Christian and they treated me like this, well then like maybe that's like what they're all like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's super it just important
hurts to your witness so much.
Yeah,
and I mean maybe you don't care like what other people think of you. That's mm-hmm. a really common thing among Gen Z and mm-hmm. probably Gen Alpha too, like we just don't care.
Yeah.
Don't care what people think. I'm going to live my life. Like, mm-hmm. everyone says it, like, let me live my life. I'm yeah. like, dude, but.
It comes to almost a selfish point, too.
It is, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really think about it, like, no, I'm sorry. Like, if you want to be in Christian community, like,
mm-hmm.
I can't let you live your life. Like, not just as, like, youth mm-hmm. pastor, but, like, I can't let you just live your life because, like, I don't want to see you in destruction. Like, I don't want to see you fail. I don't want to see you mm-hmm. in pain. I don't want to see the consequences of the choices that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Because
as a Christian and as God's creation, it's not about us.
Exactly.
And it's never been about us.
Everything but us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, uh-huh. it's literally like death. It's the choice to die on mm-hmm. a daily basis. And that looks like chapter 4, submitting mm-hmm. yourself to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know where we're going.
No, one of the notes that I made in chapter 4 is verse 2 through 6. And I'll just read it out here. It says, you desire and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and wage war, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is really aggressive and it starts with you.
That's adulterous what I'm saying. People. This book is aggressive.
Don't you know? Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God? Or do you think it's without reason that the scripture says, the spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely? And then verse 6, I like how it says, but he gives great grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the world, but gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot because, especially because it keeps talking about asking and receiving, or you ask with wrong motives. And I think, like, that... Sorry, I just lost my train of thought when I was looking at the notes.
Don't look at the notes.
I know. it talks about asking multiple times in it. And God is our Father. And like a father, we ask our parents for things. And our parents, because they love us, they usually want to give those things to us if it's good for us, which is God, our Father. And I think people can be in two camps when about asking. And it's either kind of treating God as a genie. And it's like, hey, God, it's me again. Can you do this? Can you give me this? And then if he does that for you, or if maybe he doesn't, and then you go away, you don't spend time with him, you don't open your Bible, maybe you don't pray as much as you should be, and then you come back and like, hey, it's me again. Or you can be in the other camp.
It's me again.
Hey, exactly.
Remember me that last time I asked you?
Yeah. Or you could be in the other camp where you do ask God for things, but you're afraid to ask him for the little things. Because as I said, God is our Father and he cares about everything, every little thing and every big thing in our lives. So I feel like you be in the, oh yeah, God, like I'm asking you for healing because I have an injury. My friends injure my, whatever. I don't know. I just lost all my examples. But with the little things like, hey, it's like, oh my gosh, I've been driving around for 10 minutes trying to find a parking spot. God, please, I need a parking spot. Like, he cares about that. It sounds really stupid, but he does, and he cares about that.
Well, he cares about every piece.
He cares about every little piece.
It just, and I just think, like, it's just, I mean, it is really interesting the way that it says this part, okay? Mm-hmm. So, 4:3, where it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Mm-hmm. And then you spend what you get on your pleasures. Mm-hmm. Really interesting in that sense that it almost seems like it's talking about money.
Yeah.
But like, how often are we asking God? Mm-hmm. Like I always turn to God. Like, I'm like really frustrated. I get upset. Mm-hmm. Like, something's not going my way. I break something and I need to fix it. Or like, something is broken. I need to fix it. I'll go like, oh God, quickly, or like, help it get done. Like, I need your help. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But always for my own sake, right?
Oh yeah.
But how often do we, when we look to like our friends or like people around us and we see them struggling, do we go like wow, God help them for them, not for me? You know what I mean? Like like too often I feel like what are we really asking for, and what is the motive behind it? Because almost always when we're asking God for something, it is for like ourselves, which is not bad.
Yeah
It's not bad, but at the same time, like if that is the only time that we come before him, if that is the only time that we like get into his presence is because, hey, like, I need to make this money, or like, I need to not be sick anymore, or I really would love a friend, or whatever. Like, why aren't we being more intentional to like really like pray for other people, or like pray to become a better person for the sake of other people, or things like that? I don't know. Yeah.
And I think
motives
when
are so important.
Yeah, I think when we do pray for something and maybe it doesn't happen, or does it happen the way we want, and we can get mad or upset about it, and I think either is because that wasn't God's will and that wasn't God's plan, so that's why it didn't happen, or you were asking maybe with not great motives or the best motives that you should have asked with,
which also is like not God's plan.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's so funny because it's like kind of the same.
It's the same thing, but yeah,
different.
Yeah. And then, but I really like at the end how, well, actually I kind of want to talk about this too, when it talks about being friends of the world.
Like verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4.
Yeah. Yeah, it says, don't you know that the friendship with the world is hostility towards God? And that's one of, I feel like being in the world and as a, and being a Christian is like a really big thing that Christians deal with, is being in the world and also being a Christian. Like,
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
No. I feel like you need to define what you mean by that.
I know. I'm not defining it very well.
You want me to define it?
No. No, but like,
I get what you're saying, but I'm saying like for the listener, like what, like everyone's in the world and a Christian.
I know.
Like any Christian, like, I mean,
but
you
know, like
you're either in the world or you're in heaven, like right, or hell or whatever, but
like a whole like worshiping God on Sunday, but then being in the world and of the world and like forgetting about him the rest of the week. That's kind of what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not
give me like an example of something
well.
That
you
something
might have to cut this out. I'm not articulating.
No. Give, like, what's a really good example of like something like, what does friendship with the world look like in a 17-year-old high school girl's life?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't go to high school, so I'm not a very good person to ask. I'm kidding.
Are you serious? You're going to just be like, hi, every other 17-year-old high school girl. I'm not like you.
Yeah.
No.
I'm kidding.
That wasn't funny.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say.
I'm just very much putting, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm thinking of like myself. Okay. Take out of context, like your Christianity and start going like, okay, here are the daily grind battles that I struggle with. I'm a 25-year-old dad who also is married. What was just wrong with that sentence? Like everything, because I said who also is married, right? Like I just completely put my wife on the back burner. That's the in the world aspect that I struggle with is like, hey, am I putting my wife before myself all the time? Big importance right there. Like like my wife needs to be before myself all the time. What does the world do? They make their kids the most important thing in their world, and they put their marriage on the back burner, and they hope that it works out when they're done raising their kids. The majority, right? Not everyone. Some Christians do that too, and but here to say that it'd be most important and most like the kingdom of God to put your marriage first, to watch your kids show up, in that like priorities would be like God, marriage, kids, myself, others, or others than myself. I mean, like depending on how I'm doing emotionally. but you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, yeah. Sorry.
Like so that's something that like in the world that's hard for me. Another piece that's in the world that's hard for me is it's like pop culture. I like watching movies. Like I like watching movies. I like Netflix series movies. I started a movie the other day and I was like, oh, it's rated R. Like it's probably not that bad. I went like, okay, great. I can't finish this movie. Like like stuff like that. It's like, okay, in the world, like if you're gonna participate in the world or in pop culture, you might have to listen to and watch certain things that allow you to participate in it. That's not the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? That's not allowing it to transform. Sorry, I just went on a ramble. But no, maybe good. That helps you gather your thoughts on what it would be. What's a challenge like for you for like a high school student?
I think
I'm sure like the movies and music thing is like, but we've hit on that a bunch. Yeah. So
we have hit on that a bunch. No, because I'm just gonna read this through again. Maybe my thoughts will get back together. So, do you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? So whoever wants to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. As a Christian and who we are, we're called to go in the world and make disciples, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But as being in the world and of the world, that also comes with temptations that we also have to struggle with and go through because of the fight that's going on of not flesh and blood, but a spiritual realm. Because the enemy is fighting to take our inheritance that we get when we go to heaven. So that comes with temptations that we face in the world. And I think that comes with, like you said, because you mentioned like movies and music and things like that, but it also comes with influences that aren't good, like people
or
relationships, friendships,
dating
substances,
people.
Things like that. So there are temptations, but then it's also if you give in to the temptation, but then you're also like worshiping God on the Sunday.
And that kind of even goes back to like the chapter 3. That's the best part of James. I mean, it almost makes you talk in a circle because we're kind of talking in a circle. But it is that. It's like, okay, so this is why it's important to get your tongue together because and be praising God and praising God only, not cursing men. Because then turn around, like if we're cursing men and praising God, then we're doing what the world is doing. And it doesn't matter that we're praising God, which goes back to what we talked about even before this in episode 2, where we talked about the importance of your intention and your motive behind certain things and the fact that like it doesn't actually matter what you meant because you said what you said.
This first never ends. It reminded me of I've seen like plenty of like stuff on it about like on Instagram, but it's the like life is short, like enjoy it, but it's the eternity is long, prepare for it.
Oh, that's good. Kind of a play on Caribou's Life is Short, Stay Awake.
Yeah, exactly.
But
like,
I get what you're
our
saying.
Life is short here, so it's like, oh, well, I'll enjoy it, but that's not it. We can prepare for eternity while we're on Earth. And while we're on Earth, we can also gather disciples as well to bring with us to eternity, because that's the only thing that we can bring with us to eternity.
You know, the one thing that's kind of sad, though, about that, like that saying specifically, is you're basically saying, like, you can't enjoy life on Earth because in order to do that you're not preparing for eternity, like you're not, but like that's kind of what that starts to imply.
Yeah, and it so is a very, it is a interesting line to walk.
I'm not disagreeing with the idea of it, but I am saying, like, I wish that more people thought it was fun to pursue Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I got to see the fun part of it. Like, it doesn't mean that you miss out on the things of the world. It means that you get to have the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never really done drugs, but substance is never a thing. But, like, I struggled, like, with lying and stuff, and I realized that I actually really liked the rush, the adrenaline rush of lying.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like lying to someone who's important to me or doing something stupid and, like, trying to hide it or, like, different things like that. I never realized this. I was just going on, like, a psychology journey lately. But realized that I enjoy the rush of that, and I think a lot of people enjoy the rush, whether or not they realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was, like, you learn in the longer you know Jesus, you learn that Satan just tries to counterfeit every good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there are, like, emotional rushes of, like, getting to know God.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah,
so, like,
sure.
The Holy Spirit, like, gives you a word, and it's, like, for someone else, or, like, you have an opportunity to pray for someone.
And it's, like, that
and, like, that same excitement. Like, that same excitement and anxiety and, like, this is so cool, can come over you in a similar sense, if that makes sense.
Like an unexplainable joy and unexplainable excitement.
Yeah, it's like super cool. Mm-hmm. And it's the same rush. It's the same adrenaline rush of not the same, obviously, but like,
yeah.
But it's similar. And it's really cool. Like God has, like, all of the things that you think you're going to miss out on, like, God has something better. Mm-hmm. And it's not just something better because, like, it's not that, but it's something better because, one, you don't have to deal with consequences. Two, like, it brings more joy and more fulfillment. And three, why not take God at his word in knowing that, like, he has good things for you?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah, I like that. And I wanted to add in the verse 6 when it says, but he gives great grace. And, like, with what you said too, and, like, if, like, being a friend of the world, given to temptations, like you said, that, like, you lie a lot. You lie a lot, but you liked that. The rush of lying.
I like lying.
And nice. But
I mean, just saying,
like,
it's just easy.
No matter how many times we make those mistakes, there's always, God gives us great grace for it anyway. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring it back to that verse 6 too.
More grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, we're allowed to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
But if James teaches us anything, it's that, like, there's no wisdom in the things of the world, and there's no good things in the things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if we really want to know Jesus, it's going to take intentional movement towards God regularly.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I think those were our main points that we want to go over and talk about.
Those were our
that
main
stood out to us, I think.
Thoughts. That's what we had. So next week's content is 1 Peter. So we're asking those of you that are listening, if you want to follow along and you read it before we talk about it, we're going to talk about 1 Peter. And it's, I mean, just so we go really brief overview. It's very similar to the book of James in the sense that there are some really solid instructions for how to live in the new
Peter wrote to world. Encourage suffering believers in Asia, minor to stand firm for Christ in the midst of persecution.
Yeah.
So it's my Bible. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just a solid book about some instruction on how to live. Some good stuff in there. So we are going to tackle that there this next time. I'm excited about it. I hope that the people that listen to this find this helpful. I feel like James had us going in circles a little bit. So hopefully as we get going through some of these other books of the Bible and we don't talk about James for like 3 weeks, it will allow us to maybe not feel like we're saying the same thing over and over again. But if you stuck with us this long, then you know that our final segment on the show is Bone to Pick, and Stella's got one.
I had one, and then I forgot it.
We need to write it down, Stella. You're doing the thing that Miley told us not to do.
I know.
The producer, Miley.
A lot of things, guys.
So my Bone to Pick was, you can always remember mine, but not yours.
You didn't tell me what yours was.
Wait, I didn't?
No, you didn't. Oh, I'm a, my, okay.
There you go. I just allowed you to remember yours.
Thanks. My bone to pick was, oh, we were talking about, I was missing around saying my bone to pick is leg day, but that wasn't my bone to pick. My bone to pick is how some people get burned in the sun and how some people don't, and I get burned in the sun. You know what I mean?
This is your bone to pick?
Yes, I don't like getting burned.
This is a joke.
Our producer doesn't get like getting burned.
I don't think that can be repeated on mic, because if it would, everyone would laugh at you.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, you can say that quick. Just quote.
I'm not quoting a producer.
All right, quoting the producer. Burning is for the people who aren't weak, because tanning is easy and doesn't hurt. That's maybe the smartest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
Maybe
that's up there with the Book of Proverbs.
No, it's I want to go out in the sun and I want to enjoy it and I want to enjoy tanning without having to worry about getting burned. So that's mine.
That's awesome.
It's a hard life to live.
And instead of further putting our audience through another bone to pick, I'll just let them chew on that one. And the wisdom that's come forth. No, I can't. It's just not gonna follow that. That was the best bone to pick yet. So much wisdom. All right, this has been the Minionic Podcast talking about the Book of James. Next week, remember, in First Peter, you can tackle it. Read it one time, two times.
It's pretty short too. Actually,
it's like four chapters, so you'll be able to tackle that real quick. But with that, this is Cole and Stella signing.
Yeah, hold on. I want to find how many chapters it is.
It's five.
It's five chapters, so it's pretty easy. Anyways,
Colin and Stella signing
off.
Signing off. Peace. See you guys.